Oh, I stepped on your punchline.
I didn't really have a punchline. It was gonna be grown in a factory in Bulgaria or something.
Okay.
I don't know what the punchline was. There's no punchline for that one.
All right.
Hashtag salmon. Hello and welcome to episode 491 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
Where else would we be?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Still at our computer waiting for the next podcast.
It feels like it. Although they're lifting restrictions for travel. I don't know if that's making it over to where you are, but they're talking about lifting the Schengen states, the EU and Switzerland and et cetera, so that people can travel within Europe. How is it working for you? I've heard that I've heard camping is like provincial parks are opening up for camping.
Yeah, I believe that.
Only for BC residents.
Yeah, I don't know the specifics about it, but I did hear just the other day, because we had friends trying to, you know, make a reservation for a camping, and they were on, you know, the minute that it opened, and they couldn't get anything because of, I guess, the system crashed. There were so many people trying to
get on there. Pretty normal anyways.
Yeah, so I guess a lot of people wanting to do some local camping.
Alice Lake would be nice.
That was where we were looking, and
apparently
an impossibility.
Well, they have drive-ups. You can still do drive-ups.
Yeah.
But you got to get there. You got to leave your house probably 5:30 a.m. on the day you want to get there.
And then hope
for the best. Have to drive. And then get to Squamish. And so that's the last time I was, not the second to last time we camped there. I happen to love Alice Lake. It's not that far from where you are. Probably 2 hours, maybe.
Tell the listeners more about the local camping.
Well, this is what I like about Alice Lake is that your chances of seeing a black bear are a coin toss.
Okay.
Like I would say of all the times I've been there, 25%, maybe 50%. Maybe it's as low as 25% that I've seen a black bear.
I've been twice and I've not seen one, so I'm 0-2.
Okay, well, you're due.
Yeah.
I don't know how probability and statistics works.
Yeah.
That's how I make my money in Vegas. It's like, all right.
This is the one.
It's going to come snake eyes now. So that part I like. I like being out in nature and not being very far from Vancouver. It's basically between Vancouver and Whistler, right?
Yeah.
Is Alice Lake, and you can go up there and good chance you'll see. So I tend to leave my garbage out spread out night though.
That helps, yeah.
Yeah. That way you get to see a black bear.
I did see
there's a kid. Oh man, did you see the video of the kid being followed down the mountain by a brown bear this week?
I did not.
I couldn't believe it. And it was in Italy.
Wow.
Like I did not even know that, like I thought there's no bears in Europe, but evidently in northern Italy, there is a very small number of brown bears that still live there in the wild. And some kid, it's pretty solid video. You should check it out because it's a little spooky.
And the kid doesn't get eaten at the end.
Oh, no, he gets mauled and torn to shreds.
Okay.
Yeah, no, of course he doesn't. I would not have watched it if it was not a happy ending.
Maybe that's in the outtake section.
I hope not.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Amazon. If you need bear spray, I bet you Amazon has bear spray.
Probably. I would think so.
If you're going up to Alice Lake, do it. Okay. Get some bear spray. I think it'd be okay for a black bear. They can climb, but it's not like a grizzly bear, right?
Right.
All right. Point is, click through our site. Help us out.
Okay.
I bought a couple things on the Amazon again. Back on Amazon now.
Yeah, things are starting to get delivered, I think, a lot quicker.
Funny you should say that, because not really.
Uh-oh.
Hold on one sec. What's up? No, we were chatting earlier, and now we're doing the show. That's okay. I like being interrupted when she has nothing interesting to say. What was the point of that?
No, she just needed to know where you were at.
Yeah. Anyway, what was I getting? Oh, yeah. So my son, he wanted one of those little styrofoam looping airplanes that everybody loves. I'm sure Jack's had one of those, right?
We've never had one, but I know what you're talking about.
All right. So he wanted one. So I'll tell you that story in a sec. But so we bought one of those on Amazon. Didn't know where to pick it up here. Otherwise, I would have bought it in person. But the other thing is I've been in the market for, but just back to woodworking. I wanted a router, Oberfräse. I think I talked about it last week, right?
Yeah.
And I ordered it last week, right?
I believe so. Or you got it.
It showed up.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't. I didn't get it. It came a couple days ago. And so it's supposed to be like a 2-week wait. And I was like, all right, fine. So it showed up, the one I wanted. And it's an Australian brand, but great reviews. And it says, oh yeah, like they sell them in the UK, but it's got a plug that you can use. You can unscrew it and use it either in the UK or the EU, which is different electricity, different plugs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it arrived and they were liars. It was a UK only plug.
Oh no.
So I just sent it back. Like I had the router in my hands for all of 12 minutes. I was like, all right, well, back you go. And they come pick it up from here. It's pretty awesome. I don't know if you've ever sent anything back on Amazon.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, come pick it up. But anyway, unfortunately, I had to send it back. And then, I then ordered a new router after driving all over tubing in and the area to all the different Home Depot type stores who advertise. They're like, oh, yeah, we sell this router for X amount of dollars. I want to get like the professional Bosch one. I think I've told you before, Bosch makes a green and a blue. Green is the hobby. Blue is the pro one. Don't buy the green. That's my tip to you. Okay. If you're in the market for something.
Sure.
I have one Bosch green tool. It's a sander and it's fine. Other than that, don't do it. Hashtag no offense, Bosch. You should be a sponsor, but only the blue guys, because their blue equipment, fantastic.
Oh, Bosch, I have your dishwasher. I enjoy it.
Oh, okay, but that's a different situation. Okay, different department. They are wide ranging. But in terms of equipment of tools, power tools, buy the blue.
Hashtag Bosch for life.
Yeah. Hashtag go blue. Go big blue. Anyways, you're my boy, Blue. That's what I should have said.
That's what it was. You're my boy.
It took me a while to get there.
I was going to say it, but then I felt like it was rude.
To step on the punchline, I should have said.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, they advertise, oh, yeah, here, this one place. Well, we got these. So I drive out there, and the guy's like, yeah, we got them, but you got to order it. Yeah, but you can just order it online, and it'll be like 14 days. Well, you don't have it then, because I came like here I am. I'm trying to do the right thing and support the local economy, you know, and I was like, well, but you don't have it. What does that even mean? Why would you say you have it if you don't have it? Anyway, all the stores are like that, so I have to order it online on Amazon. I ended up ordering it on Amazon, except for it won't show up until like the second week of June. So that's a sad story, right?
Yeah. Very sad.
All right. What's going on, Adam? What's going on in Vancouver?
Nothing, man. Like I said, it's just the same old, same old. Another week goes by and not a whole lot seems to change. So hopefully in the near future.
Is the fog lifting or people? What's the attitude of the people?
It's a good question. I mean, we have had some get-togethers with people in a responsible, socially distanced way. And
what does that mean? Outside or inside?
Yeah, outside, all outside. Yeah. We haven't been into any friends' houses for 3 months. So yeah, we've met up with people at a park and had a picnic and, We've had a couple of driveway get-togethers where, you know, you set up the chairs and just hang out and chat outside, which mm-hmm. is better than nothing. I mean, it gets you together with friends and talking, but I think everybody is just kind of like, you know, especially here in BC, you know, with the numbers being so low, is feels like a sense of guilt, like to do anything. So whether or not, you know, anything right. changes here from a government perspective in the near future is hard to say, but because it's so much worse in other
public
place,
opinion
in other yeah you just you're I don't think anything's going to change. I think that's the bottom line, is because people just feel a lot of guilt. So it's sad, but at the same time,
guilt, but you're also telling me off the air that it's not just guilt, like, but it's also you're sort of facing unreasonable people.
What's that?
Well, like people, like, it's not so much guilt necessarily that drives you. It's not wanting to deal with unreasonable people.
Yeah, but I think that's all tied into the guilt as well. Like the fact that
right.
you know, there, like, if you restaurants are starting to open up, but that's something that's going to happen this weekend at a limited capacity. So I think the restaurants are going to have about half the capacity. And I, as much as I feel safe, I have no intention of going to a restaurant in the near future, just because it feels weird. Like, I think that's another common sentiment, and it's hard to explain it. You probably feel the same way, or you could tell us if you don't. But just a lot of things that we don't, like, if tomorrow the Canucks decided to have a home game and it was free for anyone to come, I wouldn't show up again. No. That big crowd would feel weird to me, even if I did feel safe. So I don't know. I'm the whole situation, everything about it, makes me feel weird, even though I do feel safe. So hard to,
well, you can't go. If you've been in outer space for 8 days, going to the moon and back, when you land, you can't just jump on a trampoline.
Right.
You have to acclimatize. You have to slowly get back to gravity. And that's kind of what we're going to have to do here. Because you're right, they can't. The Canucks can't just have 17,000 people show up tomorrow. However, you know, you should feel safe. Everyone should feel safe outside. First of all, outside.
Right.
I understand if you don't want to go and jam into a restaurant. And I certainly don't, and not even because I don't feel safe, but just like you said, it just, you know, part of it's the creepy factor, where it's like, I don't want to go to a restaurant that's forced to be half full and kind of looking around all the time and wondering, like, all right, should we be doing this?
Yeah.
You know, like, that'll impede, it'll sort of cut into the enjoyment of whatever we're doing. And for us, like, our baseball team has kind of gotten back up and running for practices anyways. But, you know, there's limits. We're allowed, you know, groups of five or less. But because our field's so big, we're allowed up to six groups. And, you know, like, I think I mentioned last week, you can come and go and at different times, and then you have to do this and a whole bunch of restrictions. And I just said, you know what? I just don't care that much. It's too creepy to me. I don't want to participate. I'll wait until this blows over and jump back in.
Well, and I think everything feels like that at first. And the more you see the community kind of accepting something, then I guess you acclimatize and it becomes easier to do. And that's the same thing for, you know, getting together on a friend's driveway and having a couple of drinks. Like, at first time we did it, we kind of thought, like, is this okay? Should we be doing this? Even though we're yeah. maintaining distance and everybody's got separate everything, it just still feels like there's a weird perception about, is this okay? And now that that's been accepted, and I imagine this is the sort of thing that people are doing worldwide now. I don't know about in your community, but it's very prevalent in our community. You'll see people out on their driveway, you know, having visitation with people and maintaining the distance, like the lawn chairs are set up, and it's like the new normal for a social gathering is like, okay, maybe five.
But do you pee in the yard? Is that how that goes?
I should. I haven't done that yet, but I don't. I got a very good bladder, so I can hold it. But yeah, fortunately, that hasn't come up where I've needed to. Haven't said, oh, can I go inside your house and pee. But good question. Well, maybe we'll have to cross that one when we come to it. But yeah, just the whole thing is becoming more normal in that capacity. So now we don't feel guilty about going and having a driveway drink with friends.
That's funny. It's funny how it's gotten to be like that, where it's the whole guilt thing. I don't know if it's official yet, but I think they're talking about in Baden-Württemberg anyway, the state that I live in, where Tübingen is they're talking about, like, in a couple of weeks, basically lifting all regulation in general.
Wow.
And I think recommending social distancing, like, they're still suggesting that you stay, you know, X number of meters, 1.5 meters away from people in stores and whatnot. But I think they're just saying, okay, like, we're so low right now, or whatever it is. I'm not sure what the metrics are, but they're trying to get back to normal. So we'll see what happens.
And all we can hope over here is that, you know, in other places where the situation is much worse, gets a lot better, and then collectively everybody can kind of move along together, because that seems to be definitely one of the challenges. And I know that's like that in lots of other places in the world that are basically almost untouched by this, is still, I mean, they don't want to be affected, so they want to play it safe. But on the other side, they probably feel a certain degree of guilt about being able to do things that they can't do in other places. So, yeah, it's just a super weird time in the world where, you know, decisions are being made sometimes because of what's happening in other places. And mm-hmm. and because of, you know, the way the world has always worked with so much travel, I think there's no way around that, right?
But those are two separate issues.
No, but they go together. I mean, they definitely go together. And at some point, I mean, right now in Canada, BC is very, very minimal compared to somewhere like Quebec or another province like Ontario. And even Alberta. And so they're really saying, you know, they don't want, other than for emergency cases, they don't want you traveling between provinces. Like, that's crazy, unheard of, like, to restrict movement within Canada. But yeah. Toronto is, I want to say the problem is 20 times, it might be even more than that. It's like, we might be getting 10 new cases a day and they're getting 300 to 400 new cases a day, and their population is roughly three times the size of ours. So there's a huge disparity in what the problem is in somewhere like Toronto versus where it is in Vancouver. And so But for the same token, like, you know, when you listen to policy that's occurring from a Canada side, we're all more or less being treated the same, even though it's very, very different, especially if you take the travel restrictions into consideration.
I've seen the occasional video. I haven't watched a lot of it, but of Trudeau going on the news, like, he was going for quite some time. He was going on every day, you know, giving the update and letting the experts speak and whatnot. But I did see in a lot of those videos, he was wearing a very thick, a big jacket, and there was some snow in the background and whatnot. That was not the case in Vancouver, though, right?
What's that? Well, just the
like the weather, the cold weather. Like, so I saw him in Ottawa,
right?
It very, very cold, and then in Vancouver, very, very mild temperatures. Oh, it's been
beautiful,
But that's kind of that. I mean, that is involved in the metric for the transmission. I mean, generally speaking, this is going to transmit indoors, and if it's cold outside, you're going to go inside where it's warmer and drier air, and you're et cetera. The environment is much more conducive to it spreading in say Toronto versus Vancouver, where weather is mild, people are outside, yet you're telling me you guys all still feel the sort of the need to kind of go along with the same thing that's happening in Ontario, just sort of out of guilt.
Again, I can't speak to, you know, why
you're speaking for everybody in British Columbia.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the way it feels to me. And in talking with the limited number of people I've had contact with, I think that's a shared sentiment for sure. It's just a feeling that. Yeah, exactly. Guilt. I don't know if that's kind of because of social media or because of what we're reading in the news. I've tried to, at the beginning, I was reading a ton, and now I'm reading less and less because I feel it's really hard to sort of, you know, weed out
good information.
Yeah. And I'm mostly just reading, you know, credible websites, you know, the CDC, you know, sometimes I'll look even you know, like the CBC, what it puts out sometimes is, to me, doesn't seem like it's towing an unbiased line. But the bottom line is just hard to know what information we should be listening to. And even credible sources seem to be wanting to get you to look one way or the other.
Well, see, here's my feeling on it. Feeling that's an interesting. I accidentally said that word because that's exactly the issue right now. Is that early on we didn't have this is very unknown. Like so much unknown about what the situation. As the science catches up, I'm hoping that we will start acting on the science angle of everything. But up until now, we've been acting on the feelings. And that's kind of what you're telling me. There's a feeling of guilt or the feeling of this. We kind of feel like we should be doing this instead of acting on what the numbers tell us. So I'm hoping moving forward that as the numbers catch up and we kind of figure out what this is, we're going to act a lot more responsibly, which maybe is why in 2 weeks we're going to open up here. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. And I mean, I think everybody just wants to do what's right, but just understanding what's right, I think, is the problem. Like, you know, there's such a huge, I think, spectrum of what people think is right. And a lot of it's not based on the science. And I'm not even sure. I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming out about, you know, what information is being conveyed to the public and mistakes that are being made in the science and in the data and what's being withheld. And so I don't know that anybody really is certain as to what to believe.
Right.
And so, you know, I think we just feel like we'll just follow the government recommendations because that's the best we can do, right? At this stage in the game, that's it. Yeah. Just comply with your local government and that's it.
Yep. That's how we feel here. Now, I feel like I'm very fortunate to be living in Germany for that situation and Canada as well and other countries around the world for sure, but not everywhere. You're getting the best information, but all right. You can debate the politics on that. In another show.
Yeah, we could go down a rabbit hole on this for
I don't want to do that
forever. Yeah, and I think we've covered it.
All right. So the airplane story. I told you I bought my son the airplane. He was so excited. Like, Dad, when are we gonna get the airplane? When are we gonna get that airplane? So let's go pick one out. So we go on to Amazon, we pick one out, and I don't know what they cost, like $12 or something like that. Something around that. And he's thrilled. He can't wait for it to get here. This is like on a Saturday we buy it, and then he's like, it's scheduled to be delivered on a Wednesday, and he can't sleep. The kid's so excited about this little airplane. And then I get an email that, oh yeah, it's not coming on Wednesday. It's going to come on Tuesday, a day early.
Wow.
Well, yeah, he's over the moon, you know? So he's basically like starting at like 6 a.m. Hey, when's it coming, Dad? When's it coming? When's it coming? And he's like out front, like just waiting for the mailman to come. And so finally they deliver it. It gets here. He just can't wait. Let's go down to the park, down to the school, and let's launch this thing. I said, yeah, okay, you got her. You got her, big otter. So we head down there, throws a loop. Loop's great. Great, great, great plane. Dad takes a turn. I go up and throw it. Bam, right in a tree. Like stuck in a tree.
Oh, no.
Like high up in a tree, like way, way, way up. Like not even get a stick and knock it down. It's way up there.
Okay.
This is launch number two.
Oh no.
On this plane. I said, all right, buddy, you hang tight. Daddy's gonna go home and get one of your baseballs, and like not one of the hard ones, but like and not one of the incredible soft ones, but in between. Like it's one of those spongy ones, but it's still pretty heavy, right?
Right.
Like all right, I'll get back. I'll be back in here a minute. So, you know, get the ball, go come back, throw it up there, miss. Get the ball over, throw it up there. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get this thing. I'm going to knock this thing out of the tree. Kablam, direct hit. Snap the fuselage right in two.
Oh, no.
Just blew the nose cone right off the plane.
I'm sure he was thrilled.
The plane, he was took it better than I did. The plane stays in a tree. The nose comes down just to taunt us.
Oh, no.
It said, there you go. And on top of that, lost the ball. The ball hit a branch and skittered off into some long grass. Could not find the ball either.
Oh.
So it's just a day. I was like, I got to go home and lay in bed before something bad happens. Like, this is the terrible day. Like, I'm almost in tears. Like, the excitement of this kid for the plane. And then seconds later, Daddy just smashes it into two pieces with a ball. There you go, buddy. Happy birthday. Not your birthday, but here you go anyways. And so I just felt, and he even said, it's okay, Dad. Like, you know, you're trying to get it down. Like, he was, you know, oh no. So I put a picture up. So there's the picture of the plane and the ball. We found the ball.
Yeah, and you managed to get the rest of the plane out of the tree.
We went back. When my wife got home from work, we went. The four of us went for a bike ride and went down there. And I spent half an hour throwing a giant stick up into the tree. Lost two sticks, and then the third stick knocked the plane down.
And could you fix the plane? That's the question we're all wondering.
I went to the store and I bought a hot glue gun specifically to fix this kid's plane.
And?
Yeah, plane is fixed.
Good as new.
No clue. I don't know if it's good as new, but we only had two flights, so not a huge sample size.
Okay, but you've taken it back out since.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't dare to. I just want to look at it for a couple of weeks. I don't want to risk it.
Right.
Yeah. So there we go. There you go. There you go, son. Just gonna take your dreams and throw them in the garbage.
Nice.
Quick woodworking update. I finished the second. I don't know if I told you if I started it or not. My kids. I made a coat hanger for us last week, and then my kids were like, "We want one of those, Dad." So I made them a coat hanger for the hallway. Finished that, and then decided to start on a coffee table blanket chest.
Blanket chest. So you fold the blankets and put them inside this coffee table.
Inside the coffee table.
Wow, yeah. That's luxury. You should make it look like a treasure chest.
And then your coffee would just roll off the top?
Yeah.
That sounds terrible. No, it's going to be a flat. Here's the thing is, like, I've got the whole body done, painted a couple coats, and it's ready to go. And I'm pretty pleased with it. I have the top ready to go, but I need the router. And that's why I don't get that till like the second week of June. Yeah. That's why I was in such a hurry to get that router, because not only do I want to route the... Well, let me ask you a question. Like, what's your preference? Are you a chamfer guy or a Romanoji?
The second one.
You have to say it.
Romanoji.
There's no way you're a Romanoji. Are you a Romanoji guy?
I don't know. It sounds cool, though.
Yeah, I don't know if it does. I'm torn. I do use it. If you look closely on the one I posted last week, did I post the one about the... Did I even post a picture of the mirror / coat hanger thing I did?
I have no idea.
I don't know if I posted it or not. Point is, on the underside of the shelf of the coat hanger is a Romanoji. I'm going with the chamfer for the underside of the lid.
That's a mistake. That's a big mistake.
Yeah, okay, we'll see. When you see what I'm talking about, you'll disagree. You'll think, okay. Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Regardless. I want the rudder for. I could do a chamfer with a table saw on a 45. I don't love doing that. I'd rather do it with the router. But I definitely want to do a round over on the top. And I bought a piano hinge for the lid for stability. And I want to inset that in the body itself. And so need a router or a really good chisel. But it's a long. It's like a 1 meter long piano hinge. So that's a lot of chiseling I don't want to do.
That sounds amazing.
Once the router comes, we'll finish that up.
Yeah, I can't wait.
You kind of can't wait. You're gonna want one of these.
Okay. I think. All right. Send it over. Amazon.
Depends if you have blankets or not. Do you have blankets?
Yeah, we have blankets. We just fold them and put them on a cushion.
Oh no, these are going right in the coffee table.
Okay.
So you can have coffee or be cold. You can't do both.
Right.
There you go. All right, I'll post pictures when I'm done with that one, but it might be a couple episodes. All right, reminder, monthly challenge. We'll talk about that next week. The monthly challenge for May is art. I was originally planning to shoot Mr. Garfunkel, but because of the COVID, he can't travel.
Okay.
Bummer.
You have to zag instead of zigging.
Could be Paul Simon this week. We don't know.
Okay.
Could go either way. Do you think when like art, like how did that conversation go? Did art be like, you know what, Paul, this isn't working. I think I'm going to go on my own.
Something like that. I'm a big deal.
Yeah. You know what? I'm in a little movie called One Trick Pony. So.
Yeah.
Was that Art Garfunkel or was that Paul Simon? I forget now.
I've got wonderful hair. That's what he said.
Yeah.
It's like my hair will carry me.
Yeah, that's right. That's Fletch.
Yeah.
Hey, 6'5", 6'9", with the afro.
Yeah.
Great line in Fletch. All right. Anyway, hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, do all both of those and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram, and we'll check that out and talk about that next week. All right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No.
You should do, please for next week, shoot something interesting.
Okay, I'll try. I'm going to try.
Shoot something not interesting, and I'll pretend it is.
Okay, all right. I gotta do that.
You could leave the house with the ex. Shoot some driveway party shots.
Okay. No.
Here's me doing the pee-pee dance at someone's driveway because I don't want to use their bathroom.
Yeah, I should do that.
Okay. Well, good news is I don't think I shot anything interesting either.
Well, we spent like 25 minutes talking about our opinions on COVID-19, so.
Feelings on them, yeah.
Yeah.
Not opinions, feelings.
That's
right. I really feel.
Right.
Like.
Yeah.
I did shoot some stuff. I'm just saying it's like just some nice family shots in the evening with a nice evening light, but it wasn't that interesting. Not sharing them.
Okay.
All right. Photo challenge this week is the Fuji X100 with flash outside. Why? Why would that be the challenge? Why outside flash with the X100?
I don't know. It's your challenge.
You can probably figure out why, though. Do you not like shooting with the flash on the X100? Oh. I mean, I love the fact that you don't need a flash because you can shoot in the absolute dark with that thing. And have you noticed when you shoot raw, like you still save the highlights are fantastic. You can save, et cetera, et cetera. So it's nice to shoot without a flash, which is the bulk of my shooting with that camera. But when you add a flash outside, what makes it so exciting?
Is it the leaf shutter?
Okay, yeah, but when you say it like that, it's not that exciting.
Is it the
leaf shutter?
Is it the leaf shutter?
Don't ask. You can't ask excitingly. You have to tell me. It's the leaf shutter, man.
Right, right. Yeah, it's that.
It is the leaf shutter. It is a great camera for that because the leaf shutter allows you to kill the ambient light with the shutter speed.
Right.
Which I love.
It's good. It's handy. Yeah.
It's not across the board. You can't shoot at 1/4000th of a second and f2 and kill the shutter or kill the ambient. The flash won't sync at that point. At that point, I think you have to stop down to an f4 or something like that just because it's not fast enough. But for the most part, you can invoke the what did I do? Like invoke the ND filter, the built-in ND filter. At 1/1000th of a second at f2, and you're off to the races, man.
Okay.
I love it. That was why I wanted to shoot that. So without further ado, let's have a look at your shot.
Yeah, I kind of mailed it in, as you can see.
Kind of.
Yeah. I mean, here I wanted to shoot somebody that was other than my kids, and we were at the park, We saw some friends that we know, and so I asked if I could.
She's been in a photo challenge
before. Yeah, and I asked if I could take.
She's not the problem here.
No, I know. And I asked if I could take a quick photo, and I really didn't want this to interrupt what they were already doing. So I had my X100, and I had a flash. I was going to take initially just a picture of my kids, but then I thought, forget that, you know, they don't really want to do it anyways, and I'd like to have a subject other than my kids. So she had this red ball, and she was bouncing it, and so I took...
A square ball?
Yeah, a square ball, and that's what she was playing with her sister and her parents, and so I thought, can I just take a picture of her with the ball, in which case she agreed, and I took, I think, 3 shots. One was kind of a test shot, and it was overexposed. And then I just, more or less, because I wanted it to be safe, I just took the ambient light and just tried to balance it with a bare flash, and then you get the result. Now, again, it's it's terrible. I didn't even chimp it. I just kind of wanted to see that, you know, it was more or less going to be able to be something I could
meet
use.
The bare minimum.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure it was the bare minimum. So I did it, and then I thought, okay, well, at some point during the week I'll get something better. And then of course I never did. And then right. You know, 10 minutes before the show, I did what I usually do, which is scramble to find the photo that I had. And then I went, oh no, this is bad. but let me just say, I think it works perfectly with your photo because we both shot kids. We both shot some sky in the background. And this is a good, hey, learning situation where I could say, hey, you did a really good job and I did a really bad job. And we again, it shows, hey, maybe here's what I should have done differently. So without further ado, I think we should look at your photo.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that?
You took the wind out of my ripping on you sails.
It's bad. I'm going to say to listeners, save yourself some time. My photo's bad.
Oh no, definitely look at this. Oh, definitely, yeah. Steer into this one.
Sure. Look at it and
steer into the skid on this one. And look at this and go and think, this is the guy you're getting photo advice from.
No, don't take my advice. Come on, you should know better.
No, yeah. You're absolutely right. Now, I do like the lady in the back who seems to be wearing a life helmet. I do like that.
Yeah, I didn't scrutinize.
What is she doing? She's got a, is she wearing a helmet walking around? Is that what that is?
I'm not sure.
I like that. I like that you thought to include that. Like, all right, that's good.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, I like, do you wish you were better?
I wish I was better. I wish I had spent more time, although I don't know that was really realistic. So I wish I had looked at this and realized it was bad before 10 minutes before the show. I, you know what? I knew when it was X100 and flash, I knew it was going to be tough because really to do it well, I would have had to done either my wife or my kids, and nobody was wanting to participate. So I'm gonna say that in this scenario, considering I did not want to occupy any time from this family, and
wait, so this was off camera flash, no?
Yeah, this is off camera flash. Yeah, the flash is
the EXIF data is telling me that the flash was on, which is odd because normally it would say the flash was off because it the on camera flash was off.
And maybe that's because I got the Yang Nuo piece on that camera. Maybe it just. Because yeah. It's relaying it just decides that that's still registering as on camera in the EXIF data. I don't know.
Okay, maybe.
In order for me to make it work as triggering off camera, I have to set it up. And but I think it even has to be set to external. So that's weird that it wouldn't pick that information up. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's not on camera. It's camera left. And let's not talk about it anymore. The sky,
sure.
I should have done when looking at it the second time, instead of just balancing ambient, this is taken like right in the middle of the day. So
yes,
I would have got a different look for sure if I just shot this straight out of camera, because there was a fair amount of sun. So she would have had, even though it looks gray on the one side, there's still a lot of direct sun just based on where the sun was mm-hmm. coming from. So, you know, the flash, I could have you know, used a umbrella, or I could have even shot it through the mini softbox or something to soften it.
Oh, this was just a hard light.
It's just hard light, like just boom, straight at her. Okay. So that's partly why it looks so bad. I think I could have made it look cooler by underexposing the background rather than balancing the ambient. There's a lot of things I could have done that I didn't do, but that's why this is a learning podcast. And I feel like sometimes you just have to eat it once in a while for the sake of uh-huh. the listeners understanding what not to do. I can't hit a home run every time I'm up, Al.
Okay. So what we're saying is next week, we're going to go over the monthly challenge. The week after, the topic will be how to shoot with a leaf shutter outside because And like, all kidding aside, like I'm done with the ripping. You fell on your own sword.
Sure.
We're all good.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I absolutely love this camera, like I never stop talking about how much I love this camera, that's for sure, is look at my photo. Your photo was taken, it says, at like 3:30. So it's pretty much the middle of the day. Mine was at like noon 30. Like it was right in the middle of the day. And there was sun. Like there was sun poking through those clouds. But this camera lets you tame the sunlight in such an amazing way that you can then use. I use two off-camera flashes in mine.
Mm-hmm.
Both with umbrellas. That is unheard of. Like normally in the situation, if I was using the focal plane shutter of the Canon 5D or 40D or whatever else DSLR that you're going to use, it's going to be a focal plane shutter. If you're using that, your max sync speed is going to be 1/160th, 1/180th, maybe 1/200th, 1/250th, depends on which camera you're using. That does not allow you to kill this ambient. And those cameras, like your 6D, does not have a built-in ND filter. So you could put one on the front, but you're not going to. Most people aren't going to. I'm not going to. And so now you're probably looking at ISO 100, you're going to look at like an F11, maybe, if not F16 or higher. And so all of a sudden, you at F16, ISO 100, you need all the flash power you can manage, which means as soon as you put it through an umbrella, you're out of luck. Like, you're not going to get enough light. Even at full power, you're not going to get enough light on your subject. So being able to kill the ambient with the shutter speed on this, which this was shot at 1/1000th of a second, with the ND filter on. I had no choice. I 1/4000th wasn't quite doing it. It was like really, it was like 2/3 of a stop away, because I want to basically knock the exposure down in the sky, maintain a little bit exposure in the grass, which I actually brought up a little bit in post, but not much. It's almost in camera is almost what you see here. And so that's what I did. And so now camera right. Is my daughter is holding holding on to the light stand because it's very, very windy today. I took this today, as a matter of fact. But my daughter's holding it. She was the human sandbag, holding on to an off-camera flash in an umbrella. And then right camera left in an umbrella was the other one, which was double sandbagged. And I used my son's bike as a sandbag, a third sandbag, to make sure the wind did not blow that over. Because it was the umbrella, just like a sail, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that was a off-camera flash with a full CTO on it, which I kind of regret using. I could not find my half CTO. This should be a half CTO in the key light and not a full.
Yeah. It's
a little bit too orange on his hand.
And his arm.
Yeah. Wasn't the point.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, I love the balance of what's happening. I love the shape of the light on not just on his head, because the sun is actually camera left and above.
Okay.
It looks like it's camera right because of what's happening on his head there.
Yeah.
But nope. But I love the shape of on him, on his arm. But even more importantly, I love the way the light shapes on the newly repaired airplane.
Mm-hmm. No, the plane looks great.
So that's it. I mean, other than that, like once you, it takes a little bit of messing around, but once you kind of get the gist of how to, and again, in 2 weeks, we'll talk about this specifically about how to do this, because it's a very valuable technique to have in your arsenal. And I absolutely love it. The only downside to shooting this is I wish there was a version of this camera with a legit 85mm lens or 85mm equivalent for shooting portraits outside. And then, oh my, like it'd be, I would strongly consider, not saying I would do it, I would strongly consider buying the 85mm fixed lens and just having those two cameras be my only two cameras.
Strong words.
Strong words, yeah. So there you go. All right, that was the challenge this week.
Does anyone want to hear more about how I made my photo?
Yeah, I want to see where we can buy prints. I'm fascinated with the lady in behind.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure what's happening. She has her kid. Is she getting pop bottles? why would there even be pop bottles at the park since everyone's staying home?
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I do love the fact that the square ball is a direct reference to where I live, Baden-Württemberg. It's the area.
Home of square ball?
I don't know. Baden means to bathe, you know? And so in our area, like, there are a lot of natural springs where they have, like, you know, like you can go to, for example, Bad Wildbad. Like, you can go to all these places. Bad, there's a lot of Bad everything. City, like, city towns named Bad something. Baden-Baden. You go to Baden-Baden, for crying out loud.
Sure.
That's here. So I appreciate the fact that you incorporated that. So let's just call it a tie this week.
Okay.
All right. Topic this week. So last week was part one of the interview with my daughter. I didn't know where I was going to cut it off. We recorded and then I edited. Oh boy, did I edit. My Saturday morning last week was some editing, by the way. Just tweaking the audio and stuff like that. So hopefully it sounds great. But today is part two of the interview with my daughter. And like, what is a podcast? What inspired us to do this podcast? All the ins, the outs, the what have yous of podcasting and our podcast. So without further ado, here's part two of that interview.
How did you know how you could do your own podcast, and how could you start it? And did you explain, Adam, what you need for a podcast? Like, you need a microphone, or what do you need?
Well, at the beginning, Adam had a little cheap microphone that was, I think it was something to do with his son Jack's video game thing, was that had a little microphone built in. And so we were using that, and it was okay, but after a little while, it didn't sound great. And so I bought Adam a microphone with some of the money that we got coming in from our podcast. So I bought him a microphone that plugs in his computer, and that's how we did it. Now, I had a microphone because that's what I do for a living, right? I had my stuff I use for video. But after that, I didn't know. The answer is I did not know how to make a podcast. I knew how to record something, obviously.
Yeah.
And I had a very good idea on how, like, Adam could record and how I could marry those together, because it's kind of like shooting sound for a movie. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
So I could do that, but the rest is, okay, all of a sudden, now you have to figure out, well, what do you do? What kind of a file do you have? Do you use an MP3? The answer is yes, you do. How do you publish that? You know, what happens next? Where do you host it? Where do people find it? How do you do all those things? Well, I had to go and basically teach myself, learn on the internet, read a bunch of different blogs, and people would describe how to do it, and figure out how to publish a podcast every week.
How often do you do a podcast in a week, and why, and when?
That's a good. Those are good questions. So right from the very beginning, from day one, this is in January of 2011. I did not know how long we would do the show for. Now we're coming up. It's about 9.5 years now.
A lot.
That's a lot. It is a lot. A lot of talking, and I knew right away that if you're going to have any success in doing a podcast, it had to be a regular thing. A lot of the podcasts I listened to, like they would kind of do two episodes, you know, once a week for a couple of weeks, and then they'd take a week off, and then maybe 2 weeks later release a new one, and you just never knew when it was going to show up. And so I knew that if I wanted people to listen to us and engage and take time out of their day to be part of this, we would have to put out a show every single week, which we did. So for 9.5 years, Adam and I have put out a show every single week. We've never missed a single week. And in that time,
we're still doing it.
Still doing it. But in that time, I had two kids, you and your brother. I still did a show that week. Even though we had lots of stuff going on, I had a new baby, you.
Yeah.
I had a brand new baby in the house and in the hospital even, but I came home, I did a show that week. We didn't miss it. And so at the beginning, we would just record a show whenever we could, like, because whenever our schedules would line up, because, you know, it's a 9-hour difference. We're 9 hours ahead in Germany. So whenever our schedules would line up, Adam and I would record a show and then put it out right away. As soon as I was done editing, that, like, an hour and a half later, I'd publish it. But that'd be on a Tuesday or a Thursday or whenever we recorded it. And after a few weeks, I think, I realized something else. I thought, I think we have to have a regular release day. And I said, well, how about everybody wants to start their Monday morning drive to work with us? Mm-hmm. And so I started publishing it. No matter when we record, the show goes out Monday morning, German time. So that's Sunday evening in North America. But it's ready for everyone to drive to work on Monday morning.
Yeah.
And so usually what we do now is we record it. The best schedule for us is Adam's Friday morning is my Friday evening around 6 o'clock. Like, so today, later today, we get online and him and I do a show. I edit it. Not really much editing. Just put the music in front and mix it and compress it and make it sound the right levels and all that stuff. Get it ready for the show, publish it, and then it comes out Monday morning.
And do you have all your podcasts on your computer? Like, you could go through and look, hear every single one, or do you have to find them online, or you can't hear them again?
That's a great question. I have every single episode on a couple different hard drives backed up, but they're also available online as well. So if anybody wants to go back and listen to the very beginning of the show, they can. And we have people do that. Did you know that?
No.
Sometimes people, there's been some listeners who have listened to us from day one and keep listening every week. And then there's some who find us, like, I don't know, maybe now they'll find us now and go back and download all the old episodes to catch up. Because there is, we did things in kind of an order for the most part, so that you could build, the knowledge would build up, like you do at school, how you learn one thing and then learn something on top of it. So we've actually had listeners get in touch with us and say, hey, I had to move from New York to Los Angeles, and me and my wife, we drove the moving van across the country. Took us a few days, and we listened to you and Adam the whole way across. Could you believe that? The people that drive their whole way across the country in their car and listen to me and Adam all the time?
No. Then you would be really famous.
I don't think I'm famous, but could you imagine? You don't even want me talking when I'm in the car.
No.
No, just be quiet, Gabby. I'm listening to Benjamin Blumkin. Yeah.
And do you only talk about photos and filming, or do you talk about other stuff, like, I don't know, like being outside, or it's spring now, or something like that?
We do. We talk about all kinds of stuff. In fact, it's kind of funny, because we've had a few listeners sort of give us criticism about that and saying, oh man, you guys talk about other stuff too much, because I talk about you and your brother and things that you do, and I talk about baseball, and Adam talks about baseball because Jack plays baseball, and so we discuss that. We haven't been doing that lately, of course, because no one's playing baseball.
Yeah.
But we talk about all kinds of things, and not just photography, about here's how you do this, the end. Because I figured out early on that I wanted people to sort of be involved in a story, and that's how I feel about things. I learn more if I'm personally involved, and so if you just want to learn about what an aperture is, you can actually just Google that and read about it on Wikipedia. But if you want to truly engage and be part of something, then it has to be personal. And I always liken it. It's a bad example, because it's kind of negative for this. But I always say, you know, if you're driving past a car accident that you see on the road, you look at it as a bad car accident and you go, oh boy, that's terrible. But if you go by and it's your best friend is in that car accident, all of a sudden it means a lot more to you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that works on positive things too. If you see a wedding, it's nice, but if you're at your friend's wedding or your friend's mom or something, it's way nicer because you're invested. You're emotionally invested. And so that's why Adam and I talk about all these other things, is so that the photography part is all part of the life and the story.
Yeah.
And what's really nice to us, for us, is that that extends to our listeners as well, because they can go on the internet, on Instagram or Facebook, and they can connect with each other. And so now you have a couple bunch of strangers who never would have met each other, all listen to our show separately, and then talk to each other and share little bits about their lives and are invested in each other. And that's the community that is out there, and we're very, very proud of that. So that's why we talk about other things, not just photography.
What is a Christmas special?
What is a Christmas special? That's a good, that's funny, because at the end of the first year, so we, in 2011, we got to the end, and I told Adam, okay, for Christmas, for the Christmas show, we're not talking about anything to do with photography. We're going to talk about anything but about our lives, funny stories, and whatever. And he said, no one's going to listen to that. And I said, I think they will. I think they will. I said, part of what we do, when like we're talking about other things in our lives and stuff and making it personal, I said, people will appreciate, they've gotten to know us over the year. And so I think they'll appreciate some funny stories that aren't photography related, funny or nice or, you know, touching stories. And so we did it. He didn't think it would work. And we got a bunch of people online saying, oh man, that's, why'd you do that? We just want to hear photo stuff. No, no, I'm not listening. But then a bunch of those same people sent us private emails saying, I actually listened to it. I liked it. So it was, I wasn't surprised. Adam was surprised. I wasn't surprised. Every year though, so now it's been what, 9 times we've done it. We've done 9 different ones where we talk about anything else.
And on those days, they learn a little bit more about you guys and about your life.
About us and about you and things that you did or do or, yeah, happy things, sad things, funny things. Yeah.
And do you, like, have a front cover from your podcast where you can go on, like, when you have, like, when you hear like to a CD or something, they always have a front cover and it's a picture on it.
So every single week we have a different topic for the show every week. And I guess it started at the beginning, but not really. It wasn't until a few episodes in where I really got into it. I wanted to create an album cover, a new album cover for every single episode. So right now this one will be 490. And you'll be on the cover with me. It'll be exciting. We'll take our picture after we're done here. And I wanted to create, because I miss album covers. We talked about you, because I told you what a record was. You didn't really know what a record is. You know what a CD is.
Yeah, and you told me that, like, always when you hear, like, online a music or something, they have a cover. But most times they have a cover from the singer. Or his band, or like a cool photo, and then you click onto it, and then the music comes, and by album, some music is on the same, on the same, but they have the same cover.
Right.
And you said those are like the, that is a big album.
Well, the records used to be much larger, like this size here.
Yeah.
And so the album covers were big. They're big pieces of art, and they were really great. So anytime you'd go to, you'd want to listen to, I don't know, pick a band, The Who maybe. You want to listen to one of their albums, you'd get it out, and you'd put the big record on, and then usually you'd leave the album out, and you could see it. And so it became part of the listening experience. And so I like CDs. They were much handier, and now MP3s are awesome, or Spotify or whatever it is that you get music. It's really great, but I miss the album covers. And so from the beginning, I wanted to create an actual album cover, and it had to be square, because on the internet you can do whatever shape you want. But album covers for records were square. because that's how you fit a round disc in the square box. That was the aspect ratio, we call it, was 1:1. And so every single week, I create a different album cover.
But always square.
Always square and like a real album. And the best part is I've done 490 of them. I think Adam has only ever seen 3 of them.
Why?
He just never looks. But you can find those on our website. I publish them on Instagram at the same time. But on our website, you can see there's that week's album cover. And I have fun doing it. Usually I have fun doing it.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't always have, like, you talk about, you know about what you're going to talk, and then you look for a photo that fits really good to it.
Mm-hmm. I either look for a photo that I've taken before, or I take a new one.
Yeah, but do you first take the photo and then talk about the photo, or do you talk about something else and then take the photo?
We talk about something first.
Yeah.
And then take the photo later.
Yes.
It's all about the topic. I don't reverse engineer it, if that's what you're asking me.
And from where do the listeners come? Do they come from the whole world, or do they come from one spot where you only can hear it?
Well, no, if it was on the radio, you could only hear it in one spot, for example, like if we were on Tubing and Radio or on Vancouver 99.3 The Fox, something like that in Vancouver, then we would have all of our listeners in one spot. But because it's a podcast and you can download our show from anywhere in the world, probably maybe not China or Russia. I don't know what the rules are, but anywhere in the world that you can get podcasts, you go onto iTunes or wherever, or our website, anyone can listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see on the internet, I can see generally, I can't see exactly where everyone comes from, but it'll tell me who's listening in what countries. And we have listeners all around the world.
And are there a lot of listeners, or are they like...
Like 4? It's like 4 listeners? Like grandma and grandpa and 2 other people, maybe?
No.
No, there's actually quite a few. I don't...
Are they like 1,000 or like 70 or...
70 listeners?
Yeah.
More than that. Because here's the thing is, I don't have a proper number for you. Because usually you can spend a lot of time tracking online and going and seeing where everybody comes from and how many listeners and who listens and who downloads and who stops here and this and this. And quite honestly, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care about the numbers. Yeah. I knew at some point when we first started out, I had the hosting program. I was paying very little every month. And that would only allow me a certain number of listeners.
Yeah.
And once it got to that, then they said, oh, you have to go over. And so at some point, I upgraded that couple of times until I had to pay for the unlimited downloads. So we can have as many listeners as we want now, because we had so many before that we had to pay to keep paying more.
Yeah.
So I know that. So I know we have a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But why it wasn't important to me is because no matter what, if there's 50 listeners or 50,000, we're going to do the same show. I didn't want to look at it and go, well, there's only 50 people, so we'll just kind of, who cares? I'll just kind of do a halfway show. Adam and I do the best possible show we can every single week. That's not true. I do the best possible show every single week. Adam phones it in like half the time. That's a joke, sweetie.
I know. And how do you get paid? Do you get paid online, or do you get paid or not?
Wow. Sounds to me like you want me to buy you a pony.
No, I just...
Yes, there is money. See, podcasting is funny because a lot of people ask, well, hey, how do you get paid?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is you don't exactly. I mean, you do. You get paid a lot. You get paid a lot of ways. Now, first of all, we do get money from Amazon, for example.
Yeah.
So people go to our webpage and click through our site, and everything they buy on Amazon, we get a little bit of money for advertising. So we make money that way. That's direct money we get.
Do you do like you have to, when you want to listen to the podcast, you have to buy the podcast, or you just can listen to it?
You can just listen to it. It's free.
Okay.
Now, and that's important, because there are podcasts where you can go out there and you pay them for every month, and we didn't want to do that either. We wanted it to be free. But the other ways that you get paid are, well, first of all, like I said to Adam a long time ago, and is hard work is never wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I try to teach you and your brother is that no matter what, like if you went out in the front yard right now and just dug a big hole and then filled it back in again and then dug the hole out again and then filled it back in again, the yard would be the same.
Yeah.
And you'd think, well, I wasted my time. But
you learn something new.
You learn something, how to dig a hole, and you got big muscles.
Yeah.
So hard work, no matter what, even if you think it's being wasted, it isn't. So every little thing that I do, how I learn how to do a podcast, I learn little skills that apply to other things.
Mm-hmm.
And that is invaluable for me. Like I never knew how to make a podcast before. I didn't know how to compress audio and sweeten it up and do all and mix it and do all those things.
You just tried and learned.
I learned for the show. And so I'm really glad I did that. So even if I got no money anywhere else, it was worth it just for that. Also, the other way you get paid is that, like, some people do a podcast so that everyone knows who they are, and then maybe they come and take a class. Maybe Adam and I, if Adam and I were living in the same country or same city, probably, we would probably have live classes where on a weekend we'd say, all right, everyone's going to meet and we'll have a 6-hour day and we're going to teach everybody how to use their camera and do a better job, and we would get paid that way.
But you can't, because you're not in the same...
It's a little more difficult for us.
Yeah, but you could when you, like, would do, like, a video, a short video, and just say when... And every day you have a camera, and you show everything what you can do with that camera, and then they could look, and then you just could put it online, and they could look which camera I have, and then you could click onto that. And then you could see how you use your camera, and you just can try it out.
I think it sounds to me like you're going to be making your own channel in a minute.
No.
You're going to make your own show.
No.
You know, but you know what I will do is we'll talk about it. Maybe we'll put a page up on the website where people can click and donate to the Buy Emily a Horse Fund. Yeah, okay. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, we need a lot of listeners to give lots of money to buy a horse. I'll tell you that.
I know.
Yes. Okay. Does that clear up what a podcast is?
Yeah.
Any more questions?
Not really.
No? Maybe for next time.
Yeah.
All right. How do we say goodbye?
Bye, Lederhosen.
And we're back.
Yes.
I know. Riveting, right?
Why is Adam so great?
That was the question she asked. She was like, wow. And she hadn't even seen your picture this week either. So, and she's like, wow. Are you worthy? And I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm thinking about becoming a professional woodworker instead. So there is that. All right. Photo challenge for next week is our monthly challenge, and that is art. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers. Even better, do both and tag us at two hosers on the Instagram. That's even the best place. Like, we're about to give out websites. Except for, really, the best place to find us is on the Instagram, I think.
And I have my account up and running again, and I even commented a couple times. So there you go.
On ours?
On listener stuff.
Oh, listener stuff. Okay. I thought maybe on ours. I was like, do I follow you? I don't know.
Guess what photo this week's getting a giant like from me?
Your own?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to keep liking it and unliking it and liking it. And I'm going to go back and forth every 10 minutes on yours. Yeah, we're doing that. Anyways, hashtag, what I already said, the hashtag, tag us, and we'll check that out and we'll talk about it next week on the show. Websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at alannatridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.